We'll be finishing up this section here about the collection this morning. If you remember last week, we talked about aiming at what is honorable, and Paul had some specific ways in which they were to go about gathering the offering and how they were to, with integrity, as stewards of God's gifts, were to handle the offering, how they were to prepare it in advance, how they were to be ready when he came. And also, he was sending delegates to handle it together, to be above reproach in all areas. He said, we aim at what is honorable in the sight of God, but also in the sight of man. And that's pretty important. When people look at us, they know that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live for the glory of God, but we also live above reproach to point people to Christ. And so it's kind of we gave specific instructions last week about how to honor God with our lives. This week we're going to continue looking at what it means to be a cheerful giver. If you would stand with me, and we're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Paul says right here, he says, the point is this. I like that when he sums it up for us like that. I mean, sometimes when you read and you study, you know, you really have to put your thinking cap on and you really have to pay close attention. But when you see somebody say, the point is this, I think we all perk up because we're kind of at that point. A lot of times we like to just get to the nuts and bolts of the message. And so Paul speaks up right off the bat. He said, this is the point. He said, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. I like that. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. And then Paul points them back to the greatest gift. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Father, would you bless our time together? Would you show us your beautiful character and nature, Lord? Lord, show us, help us to see Jesus in all of his splendor. God, we thank you for the greatest gift ever given in Jesus. Lord, who was rich became poor so that we in his poverty may become, because of his poverty, may become rich. God, I pray that you would help us to be cheerful givers, Father, that we would be content in all things knowing that you are the supplier. You are complete in all sufficiency with all grace. And Lord, you're going to give to those who love you and serve you so that we can be a blessing to others. Thank you for this time. Would you speak to our hearts? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I may need to stand behind the microphone this morning. I'm kind of afraid that, okay, it's working okay. I don't know. Can you hear me okay? I know we had a speaker for missions night Wednesday night, and somebody told me, they said, Brother Stephen, you're going to need a battery for that microphone before you start your message. And that was the last time I thought about it again. So I don't know if we'll make it through. You're doing good right now. We'll just pray the Lord will help it to hang in there. Let me just start off with this one example here. I love the example of this sowing and reaping. I think the people of Paul's day and around Corinth and Rome and Macedonia and Achaia and this province here would understand this example, just like we understand this example. I see Don Rowe back there, and I think about all of you. How many of you planted a garden for the spring? A few of you, man. We're getting less and less. Some of you getting older, and you're just getting where you don't want to fool with gardens, I guess. But many of you have planted gardens in the past. And when you go to plant that garden in the spring, you put some seed in the ground, right? Now, let me ask you how you do it. Do you go out there and you take this bag of seed and do you just put just maybe for corn, just maybe one kernel of corn and go to the next little mound and maybe put one kernel of corn? Or are you real sparing with your seed that you put in the ground? You're not really sparing with that edge. I was thinking of another example. I see my friend Chad Halbrook's up there in the balcony. We like to plant deer plots, green fields for our deer, so we can feed them and get them coming in. And so when we go deer hunting, we don't like, if he's like me, I don't like to go sit out in the cold and freeze and freeze and freeze and never see any deer. So we try to lure the deer in. So in probably September, early October, when maybe late October, when we go to plant those green fields, we take these bags of wheat and ryegrass and oats and this all types of clover and turnip greens. And man, we get out there and we don't spare the fertilizer and the seed. We pour the seed out because we want a big crop of grass to come so the deer will come. Right here, this is given the exact illustration. I think we can understand what Paul's saying here. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So the first thing I want to say, our giving should be bountiful. Should be bountiful. We see here, and we're talking about the seed should be, we should be lavish with our seeds, lavish with our giving, because we know the one who has all grace and abounds to his that he loves. If he was giving us his son, and will he not give us everything we need? I think the psalmist, one of my dad's favorite verses, and I meant to look it up, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaking or the righteous begging for bread, the psalmist would talk about. God is so good and faithful to lavish his blessings on us so that we can in turn be a blessing to others. As I studied this text and I looked at what it means to be a cheerful giver, man, my heart just, I read this and I want to memorize this. And I'm going to continue. I almost had the first part of it memorized. And this is a section that I just want to memorize. I pray that the Lord will allow me to be a good steward that will be one that sows a lot of seed. I want to sow bountifully because, and it's not necessarily so that God will bless me and bless me. I want to be a blessing to others. And I think you do too. And Paul's talking about how to go about sowing and reaping and giving because he wants them to not earn God's favor or to he doesn't want them to do this so that they can get a bunch of blessings. He wants them to display that they have received God's wonderful blessings. So this is not a works righteousness here that I'm going to try to preach to you and tell you you need to do this and do this and do this so God will give and give back to you. I'm not trying to tell you to do this so that you can necessarily prove that your salvation. As I studied this, it was kind of interesting because this can become a work. This can become something that people will do and say, look what I've done, and this makes me right with God. Matter of fact, he's fixed to give an example here in Psalm 112 and 9. He says, our righteousness and our giving is a result of us understanding by faith that Jesus has saved us. And so it's almost like an overflow happens in our heart and life as a result of the faith that has been given by us believing that Jesus is God's Son and that he has given us his perfect gift. And so that kind of makes it interesting as the pastor and preacher that I try to encourage you and share with you how to be a cheerful giver and how to live out of the overflow of what God has done. What Paul's trying to do is point the Corinthian church back to what Jesus has done. And he says, now that Jesus has done this for you, that you live for his glory, you aim at what is honorable, you seek to be a blessing to others, and you should do it with cheer. You should do it with joy. This word cheerful giver is actually comes from the word hilarious. And that you should be giddy. You should be excited about taking the blessings that God has given you and being a blessing to others. I want to cast the seeds out. I want you, and I think you want to cast the seeds out. Because I want to see blessings. I want to see fruit of righteousness. I want to see people come to faith. I want to see God's kingdom advanced. I want to see God's glory renowned in all of the area of Faulkville and the state of Alabama and our nation and the world. And so I'm telling you guys, sow bountifully to reap bountifully. And this is not just spiritual blessings. It's funny, you look at the wording there and you see the commentary and the people say that what he's talking about, this actually has to do with wealth and physical, material blessings. But God's not going to just pour material blessings on you so you can say, man, look what I got. Look at my bank account. He's going to pour more physical blessings on you so that you can in turn do what? Spread the seed. It's this reciprocal thing that God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one who is all sufficiency of grace, owns the cattle on a thousand hill, laughs and is hilarious about his riches and his grace, and he seeks to lavish his blessings on us. But yet sometimes we hold. We give out of greed and compulsion. What it says is the very thing we shouldn't do. We give just a little bit, saying, I just can't afford to give anymore. We want to hold it back. We want to clench it in our fist like we've worked so hard to get it. And that's one of the things we fight in our society, this society that we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, this society of independent material blessings. And we're careful to say, we say in our mind that we give God the thanks for it, but we go out and we work and we have this attitude like, we've done it. We've achieved it. We've tucked it away. We've stored it up. It's ours. Why can't somebody else do what we've done? Why can't they go work as we've worked? And I understand that. But the more I study this passage and the more I think about this, it's like this little boy. It comes from a happy heart. The English poet Carlyle said that when he was a boy, a beggar came to the door when his parents were gone. Some of y'all would have a fit if that happened these days, wouldn't it? The little boy, on a youthful impulse, he rushed to his room. The beggar came to the door when his parents were gone, and it says, on a youthful impulse, he rushed to his room, broke his piggy bank, and gave the beggar all the money. He said that it never before or since had he known such sheer happiness as came to him in that moment of giving. How many of you give like that? Hey, there's a need. God's going to let me share in this need. God's going to use my gift. And like a little boy wanting to help a beggar, we're so excited to give everything we've got to meet this need. I tell you, giving, two things that we see from giving, is it's an essential part of the ministry of the gospel. Paul talks about this ministry. This ministry of the collection, it is a ministry, and they're sharing in this ministry. And one of the things that we learn about giving, it's talking to them is not when if you give. He's talking to them when you give. He's assumed in this text that believers of Christ are going to give to help their brother in need. It's part of who we are. It's in our DNA. You know, he who sees his brother in need and withdraws and doesn't help. You know, the writer of 1 Peter and different throughout the scriptures, it talks about we need to be careful and search our hearts to see if we even have faith if we see our brother in need and we don't seek to help him. It's just part of who we are. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they give a good example of how to not use our gifts when they sell a field and they hold some back and they're deceptive about how they would give, and they both die and incur God's judgment upon them because of their heart of greed and deception. I want to tell you that two things of giving, it's an essential part of the ministry of the gospel, and it's also a genuine expression of worship. We've talked about this the last few weeks. Giving is an expression of worship, and it should be done cheerfully. Let's look at the next part of the... So we've looked at the part about sowing sparingly and reap sparingly. And who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We want to, as Don and as Chad sow their green fields and their gardens, they put a lot of seed in the ground. They don't put it in the barns because they want it to grow up. They want to eat a lot of corn. They want to enjoy a lot of tomatoes. They want to have a lot of okra. They want to enjoy a lot of squash. They might even want to bring their preacher some. And so they put a lot of seed in the ground. Same way with Chad, we put a lot of seed so the deer will come in. I think about, I couldn't help but think about Leah and her biology degree, and I think about the coral reef and the scuba divers and going down and just seeing all of the life. Man, we want to see a lot of life. When you go to the zoo, you see the birds and the flowers and the different life. Much of that comes from seed and planting and rain and harvesting. It's just a spiritual principle as well. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. So we've seen that. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. I talk to people about it all the time, this past 3 or 4 weeks, when we've talked about that. You know, we talk about the tithe, and in the temple there were two boxes to give to. And one was kind of a basic taxation, meet your taxes, and the other one was kind of a giving to be a blessing to the poor. And some would come up and they would grudgingly put that coin down in there, and some would come up and gladly, with a grateful heart, glad to help the poor, and would put in those boxes. He says, give what's decided in your heart. He doesn't say, sit down at the end of each week and say, what's 10% of my fixed income, and say, I'm not going to give a penny more or a penny less. That's not what we see in this text. But some of y'all have heard that all of your life, and you've never given a penny more than 10%. Maybe not a penny less than 10%. He says, give what has been decided in his heart, not reluctantly. That means not unwillingly or not begrudgingly or not... The word has to do with sad or sorrowful. Anybody ever given because somebody manipulated you? You're like, I'll throw a 10 in there. And you give and you're like, I didn't even want to give to that. That's not the type of giving Paul's talking about here. Savannah, you listening? He says give cheerfully. He says not reluctantly or under compulsion. And that same word goes on to do with sorrowful, sad, out of manipulation. Anybody ever watched the televangelist on the TV? He preaches a pretty good message, and next thing you know, he's going to send you something. If you give something, and you really look at your bank account, and you're like, man, I really don't know if I got it to give, but he's wanting to buy a bigger jet. And so you take out your $10, and you send to him because he's going to help him buy a bigger jet to fly around the country on. I'm being a little bit facetious here, but y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of coercion, a lot of manipulation when it comes to asking people to give. This is not what Paul's doing. He says your giving is proving the righteousness of God, the blessings of God in your life. You're helping your brothers and sisters in need. It's bringing unity. It's proving that you love God. It's showing your deep-rooted faith. And it's showing that you believe that God is going to give you what you need to provide. And so it's a beautiful blessing and a testament to the gospel by you giving cheerfully. Let us be cheerful givers. It says, for God loves a cheerful giver. It means that God's got a special place in his heart. God is so I was trying to think what some of the commentaries said about that. How he rejoices. He's joyful. He's happy when he sees someone who is glad to give. How many of you don't want to raise your hands, but you enjoy giving like that? Some of you, now giving is a spiritual gift. And so some of you are more liberal in your giving. Some of you are more joyful. Some of you understand this concept. I want to understand this concept. I pray, and you pray for me that I would understand this concept. And I want to apply this not only to financial, though the text right here is a financial collection to help the Jerusalem church that is being ravaged by persecution, ravaged by the people, the overseers of Rome there. Many people have come from the stoning of Stephen. There's all types of persecution. Many are having trouble getting jobs. Many have come for Pentecost and the festivities, and now they've had a radical experience. They've come to profess faith in Christ, and they don't want to go back home. And so you've got all these believers, and their funds have run out. The Macedonians gave out of their poverty. And Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and they started out doing good. They were an example to the Macedonians, but what happened? The false teachers came in. And so if your heart's not right with the Lord, you're giving, you're loving, you're serving, your stewardship, none of that's going to be right. And so they kind of probably started scaling back with their giving. They probably got lost focus. Anybody ever do that in your spiritual life? You're growing and you're learning and you're spending time with the Lord, and you get a little bit of sidetrack, you lose focus, you get lazy, you quit spending time with the Lord. Next thing you know, you're in a rut. Maybe that's what happened with the Corinthians. So Paul's encouraging them. He's trying to fan the flame. But he's so excited as he sends his letters back from Titus's report that they have repented of their sins. And so just as Paul knew and just as Paul prayed that he had seen spiritual fruit, now they are right with God, and he's saying, okay, because you're right with God, your righteousness is going to be seen in your love for your struggling church in Jerusalem. I know they're a different nationality, but they're fellow believers in Christ, and the unity comes from this relationship with God and your relationship with one another, and they need your help. And so show your salvation. Show your love for God. And each at the beginning of each day of the week, or the first day of every week, take up an offering so that when I come, it'll be ready. You're not trying to give out of these reluctantly or out of compulsion. You know, God is not concerned with the amount so much as I've talked about the attitude. And so Paul was real careful to say that the offering is important, but your heart and your methods of how to go about it is very important. So a lot of times in churches we'll have a need and we'll start pushing, we'll do this, we'll say this, that we need to give to this, we'll cast, and I don't know that necessarily it's anything wrong with that, but I know that this gets lost. We get focused on the goal instead of the methods. Anybody ever like that? Some of you men know what I'm talking about. We want an outcome, we want it now, and we want to take the proper steps quickly, sufficiently, succinctly, and getting it done. Paul was not worried as much about getting it done as he was in how you went about doing it. Not reluctantly, not out of compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians 16, you remember what he said, and I've read this about every week because I want us to know there is something to passing an offering plate or leaving it out there. There is something about a timely, regular giving that meets the needs of, that when they come, when they happen, that keeps our lights on, that pays our bills and helping us be a blessing, helping us through evangelism, helping us through discipleship and ordering Sunday school curriculum. Those things are important. And so the way that they went about doing it was 1 Corinthians 16. He told them this: "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are to do on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." So the process was very important. Process was very important. Be a cheerful giver. Don't give because out of compulsion or reluctantly or out of greed or you know, do it the way the Lord wants you to do it. Let's go back to the text. So 2 Corinthians 9. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having," this is verse 8, "so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times." That's a lot of alls, isn't it? Since he can make all grace abound to you, he says, "so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Blessed to be a blessing. He goes on to apply that. "As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." He's quoting Psalm 112, verse 9. And I want to read you the context of this because it helps you understand this. In Psalm 112, verse 9, he's talking about this righteous man. But this righteousness came from God. It says, "It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor." He's talking about this man's righteousness was a result because he was right with God. He was not afraid of bad news because he trusted God. He knew that God would supply, God would provide, God would protect. He was able to give generously and he's able to lend money. He conducted his affairs with justice. And the righteousness will never be moved and he will be remembered forever. This is what Paul is quoting right here. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. How many believe that? How many of you could stand up and testify about the blessings that God just overwhelms you with? Hopefully most of us could. At times when you just didn't think you were going to have this, you didn't think you were going to have that, but you were faithful in the little things, you trusted God, you called on Him, and in His provision, He overwhelmed you with His grace. He made His grace abound. Now this could be spiritually, this could be materially, but He gave you what you needed, and He gave you a gift. And it's also, I think, part of being that cheerful giver also helps us realize with our money and with our finances that the blessings that we're able to have are from God. Abraham, Job were very rich men. It's okay to have money. It's okay to have material things. But what Paul is saying is believers of Christ, as a result of what Jesus has done in giving us His life, we should also be a blessing in that we meet needs of those around us. That we use our material blessings to be a blessing to others. Not giving out of reluctance or compulsion, but being a cheerful giver. Knowing that God is the giver and that He's able to make all grace abound. Do you see the connection here? Do you see why I want to be a cheerful giver? It's not necessarily so that I can have a lot of things and give. It's because I understand and know the grace of God fully, or at least to a great extent in my own life. I want you to be cheerful givers, not so our church can build a bigger building, not so that we can have plenty of money, it's so that we can be a blessing, but more importantly than that is because you can know the full worth and glory and majesty of the sustainer and giver of all grace. How you give says a lot about the God who reigns on the throne of your life. And I pray that you will give liberally so that you can be a blessing, but I pray that you'll give liberally because it is a testament to the God who has gave liberally to you. Do you see the connection? Y'all just nod with me just so you at least make me think that you're with me. Do you see that connection? All right, thank you, Miss Pat. Miss Pat and two others of you understood the connection. Let me go back over it again. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for, there's a great connection here. And so, you know, you say when the preachers preach about giving, people think, oh man, he's preaching about giving again. Y'all, this has brought joy to my life preaching about this. Because I'm preaching about the all-sufficient one who causes all grace to abound. And if you can trust Him with your finances, He will blow you away with His goodness. Matter of fact, look at the text here. It goes on to say this. It says, verse 10, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Let's sow that seed. Let's cast it out. The fruit, the corn, the vegetables, the squash, the okra is going to come up liberal, just bountifully when we sow bountifully. That ryegrass and oats and turnip greens is going to come up bountifully when we spread that seed thick. Because why? It says this, He who supplies the seed, guess what? Don't go put the seed in the barn and store it up. Throw it out there because the supplier of the seed is going to give you more seed. There will be more green stuff in your wallet when you give it liberally. He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. Not so you can go put it back in the barn, so you can spread more seed. Do you see why the Lord loves a cheerful giver? It says that you believe God. When you write a check to someone who has a need, it says, I believe God. When you care about that fellow church member that's struggling, it says, I believe God, and I'm trusting God, and God's been good to me. It says, He will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And I love this, verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. God, help me to be a cheerful giver. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now, here are some more results. The kingdom's going to be advanced. More people are going to hear the gospel. More people are going to get saved. More people are going to see the real vitality of true believers living in trust and dependence to the glory of God for His gracious gift of Jesus Christ on the cross. But not only that, it says that the others are going to abound with thanksgiving. Paul and Titus and Barnabas and the ones that are with him and these brothers, they are rejoicing because they are seeing seed being sown. This harvest and this seed and this... Paul is actually quoting Isaiah 55:10, and he's making reference to Hosea 10:12 when he talks about this seed of the sower and this harvest of righteousness. Do you know in both of those contexts what the prophets are talking about? The Word of God. There's a connection that Paul's taking them back to in the Old Testament to the Word of God going forth, and it's going to accomplish His perfect work. It's not going to return void. So as the seed of God's Word would go out by the prophets, it would accomplish. It would be, as it was sown bountifully, people would reap bountifully. It's the same way with the material blessings. As we sow, as we serve, as we give, as we sign up for Vacation Bible School. I had to throw that in, by the way. As we help the children in the food program that we do, when we help the ones in our community that have trouble buying groceries, when we help those with the light bill, when we reach out to that family that just lost their house in a fire. What we're doing is we're sowing seeds to say we love God and He's been good to us and all grace abounds. And He's going to enrich us to be generous to others. And as we're generous to others, He's going to bring more enrichment to us. This is not a word faith, name it, claim it, speak it into existence and you're going to have a new Lincoln Town car. This is not what we're talking about. This is a deep trust in God being the giver of all grace, and it abounds. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. He's going to go on to say that the people of Jerusalem, when we take this liberal gift, this collection, they're going to be so prayerful and thankful to God and for you. They're brothers, even though you're Gentiles. The gospel crosses every hurdle. Socioeconomic levels. Everything. Different genders, races. There's a stronger connection through the Holy Spirit living in us. No matter our color, no matter our race, no matter our man, woman, and that's, I'm going to leave it at man, woman. I'll say genders, we'll just say man and woman because it seems like there's only two that I understand from Genesis. There was a unity and a thanksgiving and a joy as they participated. It calls this the ministry. That was a deep desire of Paul's heart, not only to go share the gospel, but sharing the gospel had to do with taking up a collection to help those that needed to hear and needed to be loved and cared for in a very dark, difficult time. We'll move quickly to the end. Here's the word ministry here. Verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, because they are supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Brother Ken, as I told him what we was preaching on, he said, well, there's not many songs that have to do with giving. And I said, and I thought about praise Him. And I thought about give thanks. I thought about thanksgiving. Because there's a joy as we think about being a cheerful giver. We should redound and resound with the thanksgiving to God because of what He's done and because of who He is and because His grace abounding. And so that should be at the forefront of who we are and what we do. Giving is an act of worship. But it's also participating in ministry here. And it says that by their approval of this service, they will glorify God. And it says that as we give to help the saints, there's an overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. And it says, verse 13, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. Your loving God, your giving to God was a huge display that the gospel changed your life. And because the gospel changed your life, there are brothers and sisters in a different part of the world that are giving God glory, that are thanking God because of your confession of faith and that display of your faith in your generous gifts. Do you see it here? And it says, if the gospel, it says the confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. They rejoiced at the gift, but they rejoiced that you were loving God and that you were glorifying God. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Now this back, let me back up just a second. When it says that when he's able to supply and multiply your seed, and he's able to be enriched so that you'll be generous in every way, he goes on to say, it's actually up in verse 8. So that having all sufficiency, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That word sufficiency is the word contentment. It's the word that when he says, for godliness with contentment is great gain. Y'all, there is a contentedness in giving and sharing and walking in right standing with God that will cause you to love life. It will cause you to be content in your life. I don't know if you're like me or like others or like my kids. My kids come back from one trip. I'll give you an example this week. My kids went to spend time with their grandparents for a couple days. Imagine that. They go a good bit during the summer. And so they've been with their grandparents, and they were to come home last night. And my little boy, my Paul and Jenny, Paul's uncle, took him to a Braves game. And we were thankful he got to go to a Braves game. So in turn, we let the little girls go down with grandparents and with the other cousins. And they played, and they did water slides, and they went to some kind of little get together, and then they did all types of stuff. I can't even remember all they do. Grandparents, they have a good time down there. So I've missed my little girl all week long last night. I mean, for two or three days, I'd missed my little girl. I'd actually called Bethany and got Bethany on the phone. Hadn't talked to Savannah. Sorry, Savannah, I got to tell off on you here. So Savannah calls me, and I'm thinking, that's Ricky. That's my in-laws. Maybe my little kids are wanting to talk to Daddy. So my little girl answers the phone. I answer the phone, and it's Savannah's voice, and I missed her so much. And I said, Savannah. She said, Daddy, I don't want to come home. I was real close to just pounding the phone down and hanging up. I said, well, baby, it's so good to talk to you too. I said, I've missed you so much, and I tell you what, you're coming home. I'll talk to you later. Hung up. I was upset. But that's this discontentment that we have when we are caught up in, and I didn't speak much about it, but please notice that there is a problem with materialism in our society. There's a problem with discontentment because we're always busy, our minds are always racing. Where can we go? What can we do? What's our next big hoorah? What's our next big thing we can put on Facebook? And our hearts are not content. Guys, being a cheerful giver and being in right standing with God, knowing that He's abounded, giving you every blessing, enriching you to be a blessing to others, there is a sufficiency, a contentedness that comes over you. And guys, this is another reason why I pray that I will be a cheerful giver. If anybody's ever had a weight on their shoulders, if anybody's had a restlessness, if anybody's ever felt the weight of God's hand on you, it's hard. But if you've experienced His blessings and His contentedness and His joy, it's glorious. God, help me to be a cheerful giver so that all sufficiency will be given, so that there can be a contentedness, that we can enjoy life, that we can enjoy people, that we can enjoy the gifts God gives us, so we can be enriched to be generous to others. Savannah, that you can be and love your blessings and be thankful for when you get to go see that friend and when you get to go see your grandparents. And when you come home, you can say, I just want to be with you, Daddy, because I'm so thankful for you and my parents. And I'm just contented because God's been so good. And in a timely manner, He blesses me with what I need. And I just want to be a blessing to others. Do you see this? There's so many connections with giving that I didn't even realize. That's just paramount, and it's paramount because it's the gospel. It's the gospel that has taken root. Faith is truly lives in our heart, and we are content in Christ. We are content because of God being the giver of everything we need so that we can give it away, and guess what? He gives it back to us. And there's a joy in others praising God because of faithfulness of what they're seeing the gospel work in other people's life. While they long for you, we'll close with the last couple of verses. So this confession of the gospel and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Verse 14, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. There's that connection. They see the gospel. Paul was concerned about the gift because it said that they loved God. And when people saw the surpassing grace of God upon you, they gave thanks. And Paul ends where he started when he says this. It's a connection there in verse, the very beginning, the verse 1. It starts with thanksgiving of chapter 8. He ends his section about the collection with thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Chapter 8, verse 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Romans 8, verses... I think it was 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God help us to be a cheerful giver, because You've given us Your greatest gift. You're going to continue to give us all things. Your grace abounds. May we be as we are enriched. May we be liberal and generous for Your glory, for the praise of Your great name, for the thanksgiving of all people that see the true confession of faith. May Christ be glorified in our life. God loves a cheerful giver. Father, we love You and we thank You that we have seen and understood Your riches, Your grace. God, help us to in turn cheerfully give with our time, with our finances, God, with our wealth. God, help us to give as if we trust You, as that You being the giver of all good and perfect gifts, and Your grace abounds, and you are sufficient to give us what we need when we need it. Help us to be the cry of our heart and understand that to the point to where it transforms our life. Help us, gripped by the gospel, to be cheerful givers, to know of Your love, to share that love, to cast seeds bountifully so that there will be a great harvest, God, so that we'll reap bountifully. We love You and thank You so much for Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? This is a time to worship, to celebrate, and also to just express your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. You respond.